Well, here we are again. Incredible. More, yes, Lord, more. We're going to keep meeting. As long as God's turning up, I'm going to turn up. And next week we're going, am I got this right, Pastor Paul? Tuesday through to Sunday. Again. And then the following week, it's going to be a short week. Just Tuesday night, and then Wednesday night, and Thursday night. And then we're going to take a break. Some have got camps to go to, families have got, well, it's holiday, isn't it? I think it's holiday time. Time to just, well, spend time with family. I think that's important. I need a break. And then we're going to come back together again. And as I said last night, you just need to have a confidence that what's happening in our midst and the move of God that's happening in our midst, we carry in our hearts. Revival is an individual thing. What God is doing, in a sense, is individual, and then corporately you have revival and it facilitates a move of God's Spirit. The fact is that each one of you carries something within him. I believe that when we come back together again, we've done this many times previously, we take a break because the fact of the matter, while the Spirit is willing and wants to come every night, late as possible, the flesh can only take so much. That I believe that when we come back together again after the break, that'll be exactly as we left off. See, it's in the heartbeat of God that he wants to have an encounter with us. He wants it even more than you do. And so if you will come together, he will meet with you. And next week we've also got a neat thing happening. Who was here on Sunday night, last Sunday night? Give me a wave. Okay, now you remember the chap that was here that just shared for a few moments? Reverend Andrew Bagley. He was there when I was miraculously healed. He's going to be coming and sharing for a couple of nights next week. The man carries an incredibly powerful anointing of God's Spirit on his life. And so we encourage you next week, don't miss any of the nights, because on two of them at least, we're believing Andrew's going to come through and he's going to be sharing. I'll be here still, but Andrew will be here. I'm not saying which night he's going to be here, of course. You won't want to miss that. You know, as we go through our walk, our walk in life, I believe that there are greater and greater depths that God wants to take us into his presence. And I'd like to think that the cry of your heart, certainly it's the cry of my heart, is, Lord, draw me deeper by your grace, by your mercy. Take me to where you want me to be. Take me deeper and deeper into your presence. And that's my heart's cry, and I believe it should be yours too. Because we should all know that as we surrender, as we give our lives over to God, then he can do with us what he wants. He can begin to shape us and to mold us into the vessels that he wants us to be. And sometimes we can just, well, allow our own agenda to get in the way. And when that begins to happen, God has to take us back to the cross, as it were, back to the beginning. Begins to say, well, remember what I've taken you out of. Remember what I've made you. Remember what I've done for you. And he begins to proceed once again to start the molding and shaping process. And the neat thing is we see in Jeremiah 18 an image of this when it talks about the potter and the clay. And the clay becomes marred in the potter's hand. There's a flaw in it. And the potter does not throw the clay away. He just simply shoves it back onto the wheel and begins again from the very beginning to mold and shape. And God does that with us. He doesn't throw us on the scrap heap. He doesn't wipe his hands of us. He just simply starts the process again. That's his heartbeat. And I believe that God searches the hearts of men. It's the heart issues, I think, that he's really interested in. And the other night when I was talking about politician, professional, or prophet priest, I gave an example where we see the heart issue of a man came into play in 1 Samuel chapters 15 and 16. I talked the other night about where we learned where Saul's heart was at. And that King Saul in the end had to be replaced because his heart was not where it should be. And we read how in the process of finding a new king, in 1 Samuel chapter 16 there, the process as it was going through Eliab, the son of Jesse, was rejected because of what was tucked away in his heart. And David was chosen because David had a heart after God. And I believe that God looks at the heart. He sees how we handle situations and issues. And I believe also that God allows us to go through tests and trials, situations that perhaps we don't understand, and we can find ourselves in these situations where we start to think, boy, is this really where it's at? And we tend to, well, sometimes consider giving up, perhaps running away from a situation. But God allows situations and tests and things to happen in our lives as part of the process of molding us and shaping us. Friends, God trusts us with trials. When he puts us through or allows us to come into a situation in our lives, he doesn't put it to the point where we can't handle it. We can have a confidence that God will not test us beyond what we can handle. We can have a confidence that when we are tempted, that he will always find a way out of the situation for us. It's just part of the process of him molding and shaping us, these issues, these situations that we find ourselves in. And tonight what I want to share upon is the whole dynamic of perplexity. That thing, that situation that happens, those circumstances that just do not make sense. When we find ourselves where things are just not measuring up, when we find in our thinking, as it were, almost like that God doesn't make sense. You see, perplexity, not understanding a situation that we find ourselves in, can have devastating results. It's been said that basically God requires two things from us, one external, one internal. The external thing is that we would be the light and the salt that we're in the community, as I ministered the other night on Matthew chapter 5, 13, 14, 15 and 16, where it says, we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world. That's an external thing, that God would have us to show outwardly that which he's done inwardly, that we would be the light and the salt in our communities. But there's an internal thing too, I believe, that God requires of us, that we would become more like Jesus Christ. That we should be constantly growing. And if you are the same today spiritually that you were 12 months ago, even 6 months ago, then something is wrong. That we should be growing, changing. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, and we who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory are being transformed into his likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, if you have one with you, to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Tonight I just want to share around this whole dynamic of when situations are contrary, where things do not make sense, where it seems almost as if God is not making sense. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, reading from verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. And we always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to the death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may be revealed in our mortal body. So that then death is at work in us, but life is at work in you. And then we have some good news. In verse 16 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes this, he says, therefore, do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. For our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Verse 18, so that we can fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Many Christians today find themselves in a season of great perplexity. And because of this, they often ground to a halt, trying to work it all out, trying to gain understanding in here, trying to get their head around these contrary circumstances that you may find yourself in. But the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that the things of the Spirit are not naturally or carnally understood. They are spiritually discerned. It's like this, folks. A battery, to have power, to get power, has to have both a positive and a negative terminal. And in life, there'll always be those people who will emphasize the negative, indeed, perhaps even enjoy it. I call them billy goats. That's because they've just got a big butt. That is, I'm going to explain that. They're always like everything in life. It's but this, but that, but this, but that. I just call them billy goats. Always butting. There's always a but in their lives. But then, on the other hand, you have these people who are eternal optimists. And you've got to have in life both the positive and the negative to get power. In fact, plain sailing never made a good sailor. That the storms of life can help us to learn for the future. They shape and mold our character. And I think it's encouraging when you look in the Bible and you see this great apostle Paul, that he got perplexed. And I think that gives room for you and I. Perplexity, when things just don't make sense. It is not despondency. Perplexity is not a lack of faith. It is not unbelief. It is not discouragement. People often think that perplexity is that negative thing that, well, you just don't talk about because, well, it's like unbelief. It's not. Perplexity simply means to be bewildered, to be in an entangled state, to have no immediate answer to the situation that you are facing. And I don't think that's all bad. Webster's dictionary describes it to be bewildered over what is not understood or certain. It's to be at a loss of what to think or to do. In the Greek, it actually means without passage, as if you're in an area where there's no walls, there's no way out. Perplexity, when things just don't add up. And in Corinthians, we read, it means to be puzzled about our circumstances, our situation. You know, the Bible is full of great people who found themselves perplexed. I think it's an ingredient for maturity. I don't think that you can really mature without facing some degree of perplexity. In Exodus chapter 5, you read the story of Moses. And Moses was a great man of God. And Moses, in the process of trying to get the Pharaoh to release the Israelites so they could go into the promised land, Moses was perplexed. He went to the children of Israel in Egypt with a fantastic ministry of signs and wonders. Now, I wish I had a rod like he had, the things you could do with that thing. And he went with great credentials to the Pharaoh. He went there and he says in verse 6 of Exodus chapter 5, God's telling me, let my people go. And miracle after miracle results as Pharaoh declares and shows the hand of God in the situation. But the result is that the Israelite children end up working even harder. And you can read in this story in Exodus chapter 5 where the people confront Moses. And when you look at Moses' response to this situation, in Exodus chapter 5 verse 22, it says that Moses returned to the Lord and said, Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. Moses was perplexed. It just didn't make sense. He was actually obeying God's instructions, and yet what was happening was contrary to what was expected, even contrary to what God said was going to happen. God had said one thing. Circumstances said another. How often is that the story of our lives? But you see, God had a plan. He had a plan that would result in breakthrough for this nation of people. And you know, often we just don't see the bigger picture when we find ourselves in contrary circumstances. Here's another situation in the Bible. It's in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. It's a king called Jehoshaphat. And he has a person come to him, this man, Jehoshaphat, and tell him that a vast army is coming against him from the other side of the sea. And what does this man, Jehoshaphat, do? Does he get up and say, well, trust me, I've got all the answers, I'm God's man for the hour? No, he doesn't. We read where he resolves to inquire of the Lord and proclaims a fast for all of Judah. And then he stands before his nation and he calls them to prayer and he has this incredible, beautiful, transparent honesty to say to God in front of the whole nation. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20 verse 12, he says, we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you, Lord. Just transparent. God, I have no answer. My eyes are upon you. Not discouragement, not despondency, not unbelief, just plain perplexity. It didn't make sense. He was facing something he had no answer to. We do not know what to do. That was transparency before a nation as a leader. Church, there is nothing wrong with being perplexed. There is nothing wrong with not knowing what to do. There's nothing wrong with not understanding the situation you're in. You're in good company when you're like that. You're in a good company of people. If you're just a little perplexed about your situation that you're in, if it's not making sense, relax. You see, God has a bigger picture. He had a bigger picture for Moses. He had a bigger picture in mind for Jehoshaphat and that whole nation. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we can read, or as we read earlier, it was written by Paul because he and Timothy faced perplexity. And he says, we're perplexed, but we're not in despair. In Luke chapter 21, verse 25, Jesus talks about signs at the end of the age. And he says, nations will be in anguish and perplexity at the roaring and the tossing of the sea. The fact is, perplexity, when things do not make sense, is guaranteed. God's saying it's going to happen, particularly in these last days. It is a part of life. And I often have people say to me, man, I've got problems and I don't understand it and I don't know what to do. And I want to say to you tonight that life and problems and not understanding sometimes, well, they go together. But you mustn't stand still. Your situation is just waiting for God to break through. And you mustn't stand still because God cannot steer a stationary vehicle. And I think back the number of times over these nights where people have come up and what they've been looking for is guidance. What they've been looking for is direction. What they've been looking for is, I face a situation and I'm not sure whether I should go left or I should go right. And often I'll say to them, start moving. God cannot steer a stationary vehicle. Begin to move, then he can begin to steer you. And this is the biggest problem we face, folk, is that when we get into a situation where there is perplexity, where things do not make sense, we stop, we stand still. Don't. Begin to move. God can begin to steer. He has a bigger picture. He sees the overall thing. Let me show you something. Do you know what that is? It's a question mark. Tonight, some of you are perplexed because of contrary circumstances. Contrary to what you believe for. Contrary to what you've been praying for. Contrary to what perhaps you've even had the prophetic said, or you've just believed that something was going to go a certain way and it has not, and you've got a great big one of these in your life. Here's some advice. When you get one of these, put it aside, because God's going to turn it into one of these. An exclamation mark. Just put it on the shelf. Learn to travel on. I tell you, there will come a time when you'll be able to look back and go, ah, now I understand what that was all about. The problem is often because we can't see the immediate answer, we grind to a halt. Many of us face questions. I've had people say to me, I'm not going to move until I've got the answer, until I've nutted it out. And I say, well, that's just being a nut. That's crazy. Some people say it's like sitting there and saying, you've got a gun at God's head saying, sort it out or else. What are you going to do if God says, or else? The worst is often when prophecy does not come true or healings don't happen. See, I know what that's like. I remember traveling all the way to Brownsville Revival in Pensacola. God was moving phenomenally. People getting healed left, right, and center. And I came away after getting prayed for by all the major players in that revival. I came away sicker than ever. And it just didn't make sense. I'd had people prophesying over me saying, this is not unto death. Well, they're right. I'm still here. I think I am. Yep. But at the time, it just was so contrary to what was being said, all the circumstances, and yet I found myself getting sicker and sicker and sicker. And often it's in situations like that where it's a recipe for perplexity, just not understanding. But know this, that often it's a case of spiritual warfare going on in the heavenly realms. I think perplexity can be an earthly sign of heavenly activity. A good example of this is Esther in the Bible. The whole Jewish nation, in one sense, were in big trouble, and Esther and her uncle Mordecai were perplexed that the whole nation was looking at extinction because of this edict that had come through that Xerxes had signed and agreed to, that the whole nation was going to get wiped out. But you see, there was a warfare going on in the heavenly realms. I believe the enemy was trying to wipe out the entire Jewish nation back then in Esther's day, to wipe out the lineage that was going to bring forth Jesus Christ. But you see, God had a bigger plan. God saw the bigger picture. And while at the time there was great perplexity for Mordecai, for Esther, God had a bigger plan. And in the end, the nation is saved and Mordecai is elevated in his position. See, God has a bigger plan for you in your life. And while right now it may not make sense, God has things for you, that there's elevation coming. It's a sign of promotion facing perplexity. You can read with Job in the Bible, another good example. Job was perplexed. Boils all over his body. Family and wealth wiped out. And he was not sitting there going, life is wonderful, yes, it's wonderful. He was perplexed. Things were not good. But we read in chapter 42 where God gives Job a double portion, blesses him. But the thing is, Job hadn't read that part of the book. He couldn't go to the end to see that that was going to happen. In the midst of his situation, it was just contrary. But once again, God had a plan. God sees the bigger picture. And if we will stay faithful and keep our eyes upon Jesus, then you will see that the situation begins to come out. And that's what happens to Job. He kept his eyes upon God. His whole heart cries, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And Job's perplexity came through to the point where he was blessed incredibly. I believe that there are seasons in God. Hence, there is perplexity over cities, churches, Christians, even whole nations, over some and not over others. But let me tell you, it will not last forever. The trouble is that quiet times seem to pass on by, and troublesome times can seem conspicuous. And it can be like in your place of perplexity, in your place where things are just not adding up and not making sense. It can seem like it's always like that. And we forget that there have been times in the past when things have panned out and God has come through and things have worked. But we forget about that. And tonight I want to remind you that God is in charge. That God has a plan. You see, perplexity can cause spiritual dropouts. Even the disciples in Jesus' day were perplexed. They couldn't understand what was happening concerning Jesus. And some of them, like Peter, just simply went back to fishing for a while. They dropped out. I want to say to you tonight, don't do that. Keep your eyes upon Him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Keep our eyes upon Jesus. I tell you, He has a greater plan. Perplexity is just a curtain raiser, I believe, to a tremendous breakthrough in God. If you have a Bible, come with me, if you would, to Isaiah chapter 40. Because if you can grasp that the King of the universe is aware of your situation, then all of a sudden your contrary circumstances seem nothing in comparison. And Isaiah 40, starting from verse 12, we read, "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Or with the breadth of his hand has marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket? Or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? Who has understood the mind of the Lord, or instructed him as his counselor? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Who was it that taught him knowledge, or showed him the path of understanding? For surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales, and he weighs the islands as though they were fine dust." Come down to verse 15, it says, "To whom then will you compare God? What image will you compare him to? As for an idol, a craftsman casts it, a goldsmith overlays it with gold and fashions silver chains for it. A man too poor to present such an offering selects wood that will not rot. He looks for a skilled craftsman to set up an idol that will not topple. Did you not know? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood since the earth was founded that he sits enthroned above the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers? He stretches out the heavens like a canopy. He spreads them out like a tent to live in. He brings princes to naught. He reduces the rulers of this world to nothing. No sooner are they planted, no sooner are they sown, no sooner do they take root in the ground than he blows on them and they wither. A whirlwind sweeps them away like chaff. To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal? Says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Did you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. And he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. And he gives strength to the weary. He increases the power of the weak. And even the youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope, or those who wait on the Lord, will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. These are great promises of God. Come now to chapter 43. For God begins to get personal. And in chapter 43, he says, "I have summoned you by name. You are mine." Look at verse 2. "When you pass through waters. Not an if, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east. I will gather you from the west. And I will say to the north, give them up. And to the south, do not hold them back. These are the promises of God, that he will not leave you nor forsake you, that his heart is towards you, that he has plans and a hope and a future for you. Tonight, many of you face perplexity. In Isaiah 50, chapter 10, let me finish with this. The Bible says, who among you fears the Lord and obeys the word of his servant? Let him who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. But now all of you who light fires and provide yourselves with flaming torches, go walk in the light of your fires and of the torches you have set ablaze. For this is what you shall receive from my hand. You will lie down in torment. You see, the heartbeat of God is to make straight your path. The Bible says that if you will commit your ways unto him, he will make straight your path. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. God goes on to say, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Sometimes your situation will not make sense. But he who made the starry heavens, and as we've just read, holds them in their place, measures them simply by the span of his hands, has your situation in control. And time again, we see in the Bible where people were in situations of great perplexity, where things did not make sense, where God wasn't making sense, but he had a plan. He sees the bigger picture. And if you'll keep your eyes upon him, then he will make straight your path and begins to work things out. Not once, not twice, not thrice, but five times I went to a place called Brownsville seeking healing and came away sicker than before. And there were times when it just did not make sense. And yes, there were times when I would say to my wife, that's it, I would just want to curl up and die. But she had a hold of something that I had yet to learn. She just had a hold of that God had his hand upon our lives, that he had plans and he had for hope and a future for me. On the 4th of May, 1999, I guess God's plans began to unfold. And for some of you tonight, you're just struggling to get your head around stuff that's happening. And tonight God wants just to lift that from you. I want you to stand in his presence right now, if you will. You see, I believe that perplexity is a recipe for maturity. I don't think that God puts nasty things on your life, but I think sometimes he allows them. So you can begin to understand that he has all things in control. And we're not meant to try and work out and understand naturally in our mind all things that are going on. What he wants you to do is to trust him. Just sometimes to take your hands off. It's okay to stand before God and man and just say, this does not add up. It's okay to be in that place. And one of the most liberating things is just learning to take your hands off the situation, say, Lord, be sovereign, do something. Because I don't understand this. You have perplexity and no peace because perhaps you don't know Jesus intimately and personally. Or maybe it's a case that you have allowed other things to take priority in your life, and the things of God have been squeezed into a hectic lifestyle and a hectic schedule, and because you've got your priorities wrong, friend, that's why you've got perplexity and no peace. You have perplexity, a lack of peace because there's sin in your life. There's just stuff that you're doing and saying that you know is wrong. And until you get right with God, a lot of things are just simply not going to make sense and not going to work out. Perplexity sometimes is just a recipe to bring you back to that place where you surrender before God. When you surrender your life unto the King of all kings, things begin to fall into place. I'm going to pray now. I'm just going to ask God to begin to speak to your hearts. See, I think tonight was a message for a number of you. You are in a situation of perplexity. Things are not adding up or making sense. And you're struggling to get your head around it. You're struggling to understand why things are not working out as you believed they would and prayed and had hoped for. And tonight's about you having an encounter with God. I think one of the reasons why God needs to wait until you're ready to take your hands off so that when it works out, there can be no doubt it was God. Not you, not your efforts, not your own wisdom, not your own work. So he just allows it to get to a place where finally you come to the end of yourself. And finally, when you take your hands off, invite God to reign in your life, then he begins to move. And there's no doubt there was God that got involved, not you. Some of you need to take your hands off. Tonight's an opportunity to do that. Tonight's an opportunity just to surrender afresh to the lover of your soul. You've been thrashing through this issue, this problem, this situation. I tell you, there will be no answer until you stop trying to do that and just surrender to him. Nothing is too hard for him. He who made the universe can bring healing, restore relationships and bring peace. You've just got to surrender. And that can be a hard thing to do sometimes, just to take your hands off. But tonight you're here to hear a message like this so that you can do just that. Take your hands off. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. We do that in these sort of meetings because we want you to hear God speak to you. That you can do some personal introspection. Some of you have wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. And tonight God's saying, let it go. Give it to me. Let it go. If you've never asked Jesus Christ to come into your life to take control of your life, in a moment, you're going to get a chance to do that. Perhaps you became a Christian a long time ago, but right now you have this perplexity, this contrary circumstances and lack of peace because, dear one, you've just slipped away. God is no longer first priority in your life. You know this. Sometimes you can get caught up in a vortex, just get caught up in stuff and you know that you should stop and get off and change, but you can't. Tonight, you're about to get that chance. You're going to have an encounter with God. For some of you, it's going to be a simple matter of recommitting your life back to Jesus. For some, it might be the very first time. For some of you, the big issue is you have been struggling to make sense and understand. And tonight, you need to let it go. Then God can move. This is not a call for healing. We're going to pray for healing in a moment. This is a call about you surrendering to Him. So you can break out of this perplexity, this contradiction that's so big in your life. I'm going to pray and then we're going to invite you to come forward. We want you to come up here because we want to pray with you specific to this issue. Getting right with God, surrendering your circumstances, allowing Him to come into your life in a fresh and a new way. And after that, we'll open it up for prayer for healing, and you can come, well, swim in the river of His presence, soak in His presence. But right now, the Holy Spirit's going to begin to talk to you about setting your priorities back to Him, taking your hands off of surrendering afresh. Here it comes. Holy Spirit, speak to their hearts now, please, I ask. Lord, speak to their hearts about the stuff that's going on in their life that they need to let go. Speak to their hearts, Lord. They've wrestled and wrestled and wrestled. Tonight they just need to let go and let you come into their lives. Speak to their hearts, Lord, tonight about those who, well, they've just slipped away. Their priorities are wrong. And now they find themselves with no peace, contrary circumstances, perplexities. Speak to their hearts, Lord. Those that need to know you in a fresh and a new way. For they need to surrender all. Speak to their hearts now, Holy Spirit, I ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hear His voice. He's talking to you. If you need to surrender, if you need to take your hands off, if you need to allow God to once again become first priority in your life, or you've never actually done that, come out of your row and just come up here now. Come. He's calling you. He's calling you to surrender. Come. He's calling you to take your hands off. Come. He's calling to you because you know that you've wrestled and you've wrestled. You need to surrender. Come. Just come out of your row and come up. Come. It's time to let go. It's time to let go. Come. Come. It's time to surrender. You need to come. You've been wrestling with just the contradictions of things. You need to come. You need to ask Him to come back into your life in a fresh and a new way. It'll bring the peace you seek, but you'll need to come. Come. Come on. Come. You need to come. Come. It's time to surrender. It's time to let go. Come. Come. You've been looking for others to solve your problem. You've sought counseling here, there, and everywhere, but all you need to do is to surrender. Just take your hands off. Come. Come because you need to surrender your life in a fresh and a new way. This is not a call for healing. We'll pray for that in a moment. This is just about you and God and taking your hands off. Come. Come. It's time to surrender all. Are there any more? We're going to pray a prayer and something's going to begin to shift in your circumstances. See, God has the bigger plan in mind. He had it in hand for Moses. He had it in hand for Job. He had it all in hand for Jehoshaphat. He actually had everything organized for the disciples. They just gave up because they couldn't understand and went fishing. He's got it all in hand for you. You just need to give it over to Him. Are there any more that need to come? In a moment, we're going to open this up and soak in His presence and pray for healing. But right now, it's about you and God and surrendering everything. I'm going going to lead you in a prayer now. And you need to say these words. I want you to think them. You need to speak these out. And you're going to say words like this, along the lines of, Lord, tonight I give over the contradiction, the perplexity, the stuff that doesn't make sense. I surrender it to you. You're going to ask for his forgiveness, for having your priorities wrong, for trying to, well, sort it out and nut it out yourself. You're going to ask him to just begin to intervene. You're going to ask him to bring peace. You're going to ask him to get involved in whatever it is that, well, is not making sense for you. And let me tell you what's going to begin to happen. He's going to do just that. Peace will come. A weight will lift off you because you just handed over the situation, the contradiction, the perplexity. He's going to take it off you, and a weight will lift off your shoulders. You've just put it into the hands of the King of the universe. Here we go now. You need to say these words after me. You ready? You need to say these words. Heavenly Father, I surrender all. Those things that don't make sense, the contradictions, the perplexities, I just give it all to you, Lord. Forgive me for having my priorities wrong. Forgive me for trying to nut it out. Lord, I don't understand. But tonight, I give it to you that your peace would flow. And I thank you, Lord, for taking on this situation. In Jesus' name. Amen. And just in this quiet moment, that stuff that you've wrestled with, that stuff that's been so contradictory, that's perplexed you, that you've had no answer to, but you've been holding on to, right now, just in your heart and your mind, give it to him. Just give it to him. Just tell him, Lord, I've got to hand it over. I'm handing it over. Just in your heart and your mind, just hand it over. Lord, tonight, take it. Begin to intervene, oh God. Bring your shalom, your peace. Hand it over. You see, he sees the end from the beginning. He has a plan for you. It's just in the midst of it, sometimes it's hard to see that. Give it to him. Lord, let your peace now flow. Let your presence begin to rest upon them. Thank you, Lord. He's taking it. He's got it in hand. He knows about it. There's nothing he doesn't know. There's nothing too hard for him. He's always had it in hand. He's just been waiting for you to surrender it. Thank you, Lord. Now just begin to thank him. Just begin to thank him. Trust him now. You've handed over whatever it is to him. If he can measure the stars in the heavens, if he can weigh the mountains, then he can sort this situation out. There's nothing too hard for him. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Up. If you want to come into the river of His presence, come. If you need healing, come. If you just want to soak in His presence, come. The longer you soak, the wetter you get. For those of you that have responded, if you asked Jesus to get involved in your life for the very, very first time tonight, I want you to make sure you tell me that. Make sure you come up and tell me, tonight I invited Jesus to be involved in my life for the very first time. You need to tell me that, because we want to give you something. Holy Spirit, now let the river of your presence flow. Oh Lord, we've come into this place at this time just to have an encounter with you. Let the river of your presence flow. Let healing be unlocked and released, oh God. Let your peace begin to flow. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's worship Him now.